Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello. I've got a new keyring and it's more trouble than it's worth. It's very long and it's two fingers up. It's rude. It's punk. It's I don't care. I'm swearing. There could actually be in a peace sign. Anyway, everything dangles off of it and I end up losing everything. It's the most stupid keyring in the world. I'm going to a silent retreat. Well, depending on when this goes out. Anyway, I'm off to a silent retreat. But they said that the phones are our own responsibility. I mean, what? So it's up to me whether I look at my phone or not. That can't be right. They need to take it off me. What if I've got a bag of sweets? I can't be trusted. Come off it. My whole life is in my phone. No, it's not actually. It's in my heart. So maybe I'll give them... Well, I will give them my heart because it's a silent retreat. You hand your heart over at the door. Anyway, I'm going there. But more importantly, what about here and now? I'm talking to Laura Smith this week and my God, what a podcast. Did I cry in this podcast? You bet your life I did. There's a theme here. I cry a lot. Laura is so wise. She's done Live at the Apollo. She's only been doing stand-up like 4 years or 5 years. I think we discuss it on here. And she's so good. She rose really quickly. Well, we talk about this. After having cancer, she just thought, yeah, sod it, I want to do stand-up. And she's absolutely fantastic at it. She's absolutely magnetic. She's brilliant. I love her. Here she is now. Would you say your surname as Smith or Smart?
Smith.
Why would you spell it without an I?
This is very funny. It's my married name and my in-laws are Northern Irish. And I used to work in a Catholic school and I had lots of Northern Irish Catholics there. And I remember asking a teacher, this older sort of deputy head, a very formidable character. And I said to her, oh yeah, my married name's going to be Smith with a Y. Is that a Northern Irish thing? And she just went, Protestant.
Oh,
I don't know if it's a little Protestant. Bit of Northern Irish Protestant kind of, and we're posh, we have a Y.
Wow.
But I've gone from being Laura Taylor to having a name that I spell. I'm like Smith with a Y. It's the only question that MCs ask. Yeah. Are you Smith or Smythe?
So yeah.
Smith with a Y.
Well, lovely. Hang on, did you say you worked in that school?
I did. I was a teacher for 10 years.
Yeah, I did know you were a teacher. That's why you're so good at stand-up so quickly. Maybe. Probably because you're talented as well, actually, to be fair. But... what was the school like and why were you working? So many questions.
What are you doing? It's a local girls school. And it's funny enough, when I attended school, because I've always lived in the same area, I went to the rival girls school. So I was a Sarah Bonnell girl. And then I taught at the Catholic girls school. That's where I got, I did a teacher training there and I had my whole career there.
I know you're Catholic though.
No, I'm not. But you know what's quite nice?
I don't mean what the fuck were you doing at Catholic school. It sounded like that, but that's just my interview style.
So just got this information about you. What the fuck?
Yeah, I'm working on that. Yeah.
I like that though. Yeah. Do you know what was quite nice with Catholicism, and especially every school would practice it differently, is that it provides a moral language without much thought. So you can say, like, you know, I can have a fallout right now. Now I'd like you to, you know, that's your sister in Christ. You can pray for her. And that can sort of put paid to something. Yeah. And often when there was sort of some sort of tragedy or, a student might have passed away or a teacher or someone was sick or a tragedy, you know, the Catholic machine kicks into place and there's a mass and there's a sort of pro forma and rituals.
Yeah, yeah, very important.
That are actually quite, actually feel quite safe, and they've almost always got something to lean on, and they did it well. That's the only way I can explain it.
I like faith, all faiths, actually, and I think faith is really gives you something.
Yeah.
And I do believe in God, and I don't think there's a right one or a wrong one. So actually, I don't know why I asked that, but I just think it's funny. I just thought it was funny, the thought of you in a Catholic school, but actually, it's not really.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to talk about faith and things like that without saying, well, then you must subscribe to all the things that come with
it. Yeah.
And so it's almost like you can only whisper it sort of safely where it comes, sort of thing.
But actually, the power of belief and the power of faith is proven to give you something. Like when people's kids are killed or something and they're religious of whatever, you know, and they have the power of forgiveness in them, which you cannot argue leads a better life than you going around resenting and kind of not being able to move past something.
Yeah, and it's the opposite of ego, isn't it? Like ego says, if I do X, Y, Z, I get A, B, C, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah, so spirituality has become popular on TikTok about manifesting, but that's the opposite, is trying to get something and change the way of something, whereas really you're supposed to pray for like acceptance or kind of give me a way forward or, you know, rather than getting the thing.
Yeah, and I funny enough, I was on Always Be Comedy podcast and James Gill was sort of saying, oh, your career's been so rapid and is it this? And do you have you seem quite spiritual. Is it about manifestation? I said, all those vision boards and manifesting, it's very like future.
Yeah.
And actually I did a bit of, when I had breast cancer and go straight in there, but I was ill and actually it all came to this head of like where I'd been very grind. And I really I'll have a joke where I say, you know, I did restorative yoga. I did, you know, I had a cranial osteopath. I had a spiritual healer. I had a hypnotherapist. I said, cancer turned me middle class. You know, but it was about, because it's funny in this industry, it's very speculative, isn't it? In the sense of like, oh, I'm self-taping, I'm pitching, I'm this, I'm going to August. A lot of my energy field, very future. There was nothing present. Everything was hustle, the kids, you know, projecting what they need and blah, blah, blah. And actually, a big thing I've learned in the last couple of years is everything's bringing it back to the present.
So it's a lifetime's work to try and get in the now. I've listened to The Power of Now about 6 times. Yeah, I know all this. Yeah.
I made my osteopath laugh. I was talking about someone, my husband, and I kind of was talking about some frustrations of just in terms of where we were at in our career. And I said, well, I suppose I've just got to accept he's never had the privilege of having to fight for his life. And she burst out laughing and said, what a way to describe having, like, you know, like, and I thought, oh, yeah, that is maybe how I see it. When you're really actual life and I want to live and the realisation that you want to, that's all you want to live.
Looking back, how do you feel about the cancer now?
Well, I feel that it was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
Wow.
I do. And it's hard to say that. And it's, everything was so acute. You know, after the diagnosis, like walking the dog in the morning, getting out early for sunrises and all that sort of really going, oh, look at this world. And when you have radiotherapy, you go every day. So there's a sort of team of you that you know and you don't get to be that raw and human with people.
Have a
cry. No, but it is like we shouldn't live in competition. You know, it's very important to do away with all that to be able to really love one another, because we're so distracted, aren't we?
That's bloody beautiful.
We're in.
Oh, stick the Cuddle Club jingle under that. Bloody hell.
Yeah, sorry. I feel very like that. I always joke about comedy coming to it so late. I'm living my real life now. Mm-hmm. That's how I describe it, because it was something I was never brave enough. And I think there's so much of my life was about, I'm a good girl, I am. That kind of having become a young mum and then going back to uni and then all the things that contort us on a spiritual level of shit that happens to us. I always say it's like sedimentary rock of like trauma. So that it was about then stepping into authenticity and all those sorts of things. And I think they say by the time you get a symptom or you can detect the cancer, it's sort of 3 to 5 years since. And I can think back into my life of like, being at work and, you know, falling pregnant with my third child and just where I was at. And I sort of think there was a sort of like an inevitability about it, I feel like.
Yeah. And what's happening now with it all?
Well, you know, you're always hoping to get past the 5-year mark.
Yeah.
So I'm sort of 2 years, getting close to 2 years post-diagnosis. So I'm, you know, after the surgery, I was considered cancer-free. So all the chemo, all the radiotherapy, that was sort of what adjuvant therapy, you know, additional to keep safe. And I'm on like, it was an estrogen-fed cancer. So I'm on sort of like hormone blockers. So I'm like menopausal.
Well, you've had three kids. Yeah, so yeah, that's good.
They took my ovaries out and all those sorts of things. Yeah. So yeah, and it's funny. It's so funny, like, you know, this is the idea of definitions of womanhood now that everyone wants to kind of call a woman anymore. And it's quite funny as a cisgendered sort of woman attacked by an estrogen to be losing breasts and ovaries and hair and eyebrows and go, well, guess what? I'm still a woman.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? As though this sense of like, I'm more.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Bloody hell. Wow.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. It's nice to have a little cry.
No, get that out of the way.
I, on a lighter note, I saw you heavy petting with your husband in the swimming pool.
I went heavy petting. It was so funny. Like,
I did see it. I was like, I'm sure that's Laura. By the way, it's worth saying, I saw you do comedy at Up the Creek and you're absolutely wildly good. It was Thank so you. Good. And how long have you been going?
Just 4.5 years.
Oh, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. Oh, it's so good. Because you're going on tour very soon.
I'm touring next year, April till June, which makes it sound like a really long tour, but it's not, because I'm just doing Friday, Saturday nights to keep it simple. So it's a lovely UK tour and it's had so much support already. And it's called Living My Best Life, which is half tongue in cheek of like all the way we project it on the old Instagram and socials, which I'm guilty of. But and actually, what is living your best life? It's going, hey, here I am, Lord. So that sort of vibe.
Yeah, lovely. Yeah. Well, they're in for a treat because you're absolutely phenomenal at stand-up.
Thanks.
Fire questions.
Yes.
Quite agree. Okay, quick fire round. Favourite kid when you were teaching?
My favourite kid, Tyne, she was the naughtiest kid in the whole school. There's still graffiti in the school that she did. There's always this arsehole teacher goes, she's all right for me. And you go, oh, shut up. You know, if everyone bombs on a night.
Yeah,
and
I love that kid. Yeah.
But I shut up. I said, no, I send her out every lesson. She's unteachable. And me and my friend Keith, we were both heads of year. So we were on an office and she gets sent out all the time. And what we'd have is a relocation, you know, like senior leadership, all the deputy heads would have to collect this kid. And often we get a phone call from the office saying, no one's picking up from senior leadership. Can you get Tyne out of her classroom? So we'd march down there and we think, oh, no, let's not send her to the deputy. So we'd have her in the office with us. And she'd sort of be sniggering because we'd be laughing. We'd have a laugh. It was a really funny colleague. And she quoted me of something I said to her. So this is really a story about how great I am. And it was nice because she does really well now. I said to her,
does she do well now?
She's doing really well.
God bless her.
And she's come to my gig. She came to Up the Creek gig once with her mate. And I said, Tyne, you're never, ever going to be a good kid. I said, but you're going to be a great adult. So don't worry about school.
Oh, wow.
And that's what she kept with her. And because it's true.
That's amazing.
And I didn't want her to leave because I weren't good at school. And I didn't want her to leave school having to rebuild her sense of self based on these arbitrary measures.
Whoa.
So she always says that. And she's a great adult. She's just a joy. And there's teachers that are still going, like, she was nothing. She was, you know, she derailed every lesson. And, but I just think she's a real great adult and she's really come through some big stuff.
I bet it meant a lot for her to have one person that could see her potential. Yeah. That's all you need. Yeah. Well, you know, it's another teacher. To have a bit more, but
yeah, she's just done really.
Oh, good
she's
on her.
A good adult. We like her a lot.
Yeah, a big shout out, really.
Yeah.
COVID-19, all a bit of a hoax.
Do you know, like any of these things, there's the truth, and the truth, isn't there? And it's like, it was a damaging, dangerous thing that really hurt us. But you've got to think, well, when if the government ever give a shit about us, they know how to line things up so their pockets are getting lined. So not a hoax, but a lot of damage done and a lot of people benefited from it. So that everything can be commandeered to ruin the little man and benefit the big man.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Oh, well, now she's asking. Okay, time for the touch quiz. What am I thinking about touching? You've got 5 questions.
Oh, what are you thinking about touching?
Touching,
is
yeah.
it round?
It's some people have a round one. Oh. A pig would have a round one. Oh, I've given too much away. But you've got,
nose.
Yeah, but whose nose?
Ooh.
Oh, I gave too much away now. You've charmed me into it. Bloody hell.
Your easy work. Is it a boy?
No.
Is it a girl?
Yes.
Is it my nose?
Yes. Lovely.
That was going to be my first actual guess.
But you don't know. You imagine psychicness exists anyway. Okay, how do you feel about cuddling? Well, can we tell them what you said when you came in?
Oh, what did I say?
Because I said I'm going to go on holiday on my own, but I'm codependent, so it is a problem. And you, yeah, and then you said.
I said, I think I might have had kids because I'm so codependent. I like Caliban, I peopled this island. I love a cuddle. I love a cuddle.
With your husband, we've seen that.
He's a nice cuddler. I love cuddling my kids. Like, I've got a fair age range, so my perfect state for my oldest is hungover and heartbroken. You want a cuddle for yeah. mummy? So I'm getting in.
You love a heartbroken, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I do.
Destroyed.
Yeah. Oh, look how broken she is. I'm glad I engineered that. I love
it. I sent him the pickies of her cheese.
So yeah, I do. I love a cuddle.
It's nice.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be on holiday on my own. I just wish I could take my cats to Lisbon. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. You want some cuddles are so intrusive and wanting them to end.
Also, the perfect holiday companion is tricky to get these days because everyone's got like work commitments or family and some people have said they can come for 2 days and I thought it's not worth it. Like, anyway.
It's really hard and I holidayed by myself at the start of this year. I went to Greece for a few nights by myself and I loved it.
Yeah.
I just
problems at home.
No, you know, again, back to the cancer. I was so busy at the start of this year and because I've got the BRCA gene, so I'm going to have another mastectomy as a preemptive strike. So it can affect ovaries and there's no effective screening for ovaries. So I had keyhole surgery for my ovaries in April, right, to take my ovaries out.
Bloody hell.
Now, the joke is, though, I was so busy in the first start of the year that I went, oh, it's fine. I was going, oh, it's good because I'm having surgery.
Yeah.
So I can relax then.
Yeah.
I can't keep waiting for medical intervention to give myself a license to relax. So it's a little bit like, no, I'm
good.
Yeah. You know, a working mum, you're like, if it's not about the kids or working, everything else is guilty. And I feel like I've lost the sort of self-care that I'd learned. So I thought, I'm just going. I want to go by myself and they can hatch like them apples. And I just loved it. I loved
how long did you go for?
I say 3 nights.
Yeah, perfect. Well, apparently it takes 5 days to relax. Well, I learned that on QI. But so next time go for 5. But that's tricky.
If you go on holiday, the first 2 days are like, what the fuck am I doing? Why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And you go on a bit of a journey on it. And by the 5th day, you go, you know, sometimes you've got to sit with yourself.
I'm going to sit with myself.
Yeah.
In Lisbon.
Yeah. And just, yeah.
I'm also worried about getting sex trafficked, but I think I'm a bit old for that.
Oh, yeah, never too old.
Do you know what I mean?
Never too old.
That's the beauty. That is the beauty of getting a bit older. Less chance of being sex trafficked.
Yeah, it is. No, it's sad, isn't it? But then we still have associations of those being a vulnerable woman in different places. And sometimes it's nice to step into things and acknowledge, I'm not that, I'm safe now. I'm okay now.
Yeah.
I'm functioning in the world all right. And I've had a lot of experiences like that, going back into education in sort of my mid-20s to do my degree, where at 18 I went for a year, lost the plot, had a mental breakdown and came back and became a single mum. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I'm older now, I've got my big girl pants on, I can do it.
What were your family like, you don't mind me saying?
Well, we're really close in age, all my siblings. It was always a good laugh, but we weren't soft. Like, watch my husband, he talks about his sister like he really likes her. Oh. My siblings would never do that. It was all like, wah, wah, wah. I don't remember cuddling my dad, but you know, my mum's not, yeah, I'm sure there's evidence that I probably did, but and my mum's not a cuddler. If I cuddled her now, she'd sort of go, herself for a kind of, yeah, I'd like to go. My best cuddler in my whole life is my sister Jane, who's like, she'll cuss me. She's like an old sofa. You're like, oh, Jane. Do you know what I mean? She's proper fag ash Lil. Do you know what I mean? She forgets to put her teeth in. She's the best. You go, oh, you dissolve into Jane, and she's a bit, she's great.
Hang on. Like a bridge over cuddled water.
Are you ready for Like a Bridge Over Cuddled Water?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to sing. Oh, no, we've got them from Scroobius Pip. Much better. He sent some new ones. What a bloody sweetheart. Here we go.
That'd be good to me. I don't know.
No, that's Shania Twain. That don't impress me much.
I'm going to be useless at this. I'm tone deaf.
No, that is really hard, actually.
I can't sing.
I can't
recognise music. No, don't feel bad. Keep going. Look, I'm quite happy to feel like a moron.
Well, it's not a keep going. We can't use them all.
Oh, is it just one? Is it just one? I thought there was going to be a whole set. I thought I was on Nevermind the Buzzcocks.
No, not today. But you were very good on the nose quiz, weren't you?
That was
Untouched
good,
My
yeah.
Nose, you know. We've rebranded it. So you can't feel too... Now, the next one's any health complaints. Can I look them up?
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, do.
I guess. Have you looked up breast cancer in Louise O'Hay's book?
Oh, I think this might be a father wound.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look it up, the left breast, because left breast and right breast are different.
Oh, shit.
This is my yogi mate. We're well into all this.
Breasts represent... Do you like the way I say breasts?
Yes.
Yeah. Breasts represent mothering and nurturing and nourishment. Breast problems, cyst, lump, sores, mastitis. A refusal to nourish the self, putting everyone else first. Overmothering, overprotection, overbearing attitudes. I don't think that's the negative side of the positive. So you don't always have that. So you have to say, I take in and give nourishment in perfect balance.
Yeah.
And then I am important. I count. I now care for and nourish myself with love and joy. I allow others the freedom to be who they are. We're all safe and free.
That's huge. But that is, as a mum, I've had to learn it over... Now 21 years I've been a mum, but again, that sort of, it's almost the same thing of like, if I do this, they'll be all right and I can engineer this. And do you know what's funny? Have you seen It's a Sin? The brilliant. There's that bit where that mum gives the speech to the sort of mum in denial and says, well, who were you looking at then? Like, you didn't know your son was gay. Who were you parenting? Who were you looking at?
Yeah.
And I had this wave. I think my daughter was 16, 17. Because I was a teacher at the time and I was very heavy on her about, you know, achieving. I thought, who am I looking at? It gave me this revelation of like, I can't engineer my Rosie to be this person.
Yeah.
It was like a sense of, oh, I've got a parent who is here.
Yeah, right.
And it was a very big kind of moment for me. Of just making sure she's safe on her terms, do you know? And that changed the way I parented her a lot, even though she's older. And now I give her space and trust her. And it's sort of, it's benefited the younger two of just saying, well, this is who they are. I can't keep thinking they should be, they should be reading or... You know, they like hitting each other. That's who they are.
That's who they are. Let them.
They love swearing.
Let them get each other.
No, but so there is, that does speak to me in that sense of like, that same energy of,
that must be the hardest thing in the world not to, when you love someone so much and you just want the best for them, not to think, I've got to do it for them, or like, I want to give them too much, you know? Like,
And also there's a model from an older generation of martyrdom that you have to get rid of like, I certainly don't think my mum understands that.
No,
I take time for myself. Like,
she's
like, whoa, she seems to be off doing.
She seems to be off for 3 days in Greece.
Yeah. Oh. I thought, well, where would you have been imagine if you did that, babe.
Do you want a tiara while you're there?
That kind of energy, but it is a bit like that. And also, yeah, let my kids know for them to have a model to do that, take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was funny when they were teenagers, they got really pissed, her and her mates, and one of her friends ended up in hospital. It was like, a really great mum, a friend of mine, Krishna, who was the welfare support officer at school, would chase absences and all that. She had grown up children. She went, now, like, you've told her off, you've confiscated her phone. She went, now you let her know it's done and you're her safe place again. Don't fracture it. So she was very good in an older mother schooling me to say, now you be her safe place again. So so when she sort of, you know, sheepishly, I just said, right, it's done.
That's so important, isn't it? Yeah. In my book, when I said about my mum, like when I drank drive, and then I phoned her and I said, I've been arrested for drink driving. Mm. And she was like, that was a very silly thing you'd done, but I don't love you any less. And it was such... like I was like, oh right, that's so like it felt massive, because then you like you don't go into a shame well and do more like destructive things.
It is really.
She'd been on a counselling course, so she'd learned before that.
Yeah, cool. Because you think if I don't do this hard line on them, they'll never learn, and we need to do that. And
you do learn because you don't have a driving license.
Yeah. And you want to say, you're not your mistakes. And Brené Brown talks a lot about that, about separating the act from the person. And you said it in your shame pig shows, like the different shame and guilt of like, I feel bad for that. Like, you know, that I did a shitty thing.
I'm not a worm.
And that is it. It's like, you can do a shitty thing. It doesn't mean you're a piece of shit. Talking yesterday, but that is it. That's the human condition. That's the work in it.
How do
I try and eradicate this fundamental human experience of just thinking I'm a piece of shit?
Where does
it come from? When you meet people that don't think they're a piece of shit, you're like, what happened?
Yeah. What happened to you? Put you in a lab. My God. Yeah, I mean, it's a life's work, right? But some people don't have. I don't know if they've had like really wacky upbringings full of love or something, but.
I don't know. I have a joke when young people get really chippy on the front row, and I always say when they decide so they can shout out and just tell you stuff, they're sort of confident. So, you're very confident, young man. Are your parents still together?
Oh, I won't ask you again, but I tell you who will. It's Alan de Botton. That was Luke on keys, if you can believe. Alan de Botton. Pick a card, any card. It's Alan de Botton.
Are there particular people around whom you feel squashed or cut off or disengaged? Yeah.
Comedians. Lots of comedians.
Do you know, there's comedians, and I don't think I've met any, let's just put it this way, I don't think I've met any female comedians that have done this.
Yeah.
But male comedians that sort of surface and ostensibly might be very positive about me, might be all very positive and nice. But their chat and energy is so all-consuming of posturing confidence.
Yeah.
I just shrink. And I hate myself for shrinking. Yeah. I just feel like they take up so much space that I just find myself disengaging
from them. I don't think they know they're doing it.
No.
They do. I know. Yeah, exactly what you mean. And I don't know what it is, like an energy of taking over kind of thing. But yeah, what is it?
I mean, I think I can do. I talk a lot and I'm big, and especially when you're trying to keep space for yourself before a gig. Mm. I mean, there's some people that do it so funny. Like, I think you can use that for good when you lift the energy of a room. I don't mind that at all. But somehow when it's all ego and it's their coping mechanism.
Yeah, they don't know they're doing it. It's a very subtle. Yeah.
Yeah. But I really shrink around that. As soon as men start having a pissing up the wall contest, I just think,
Go
on, have fun. I just want to go and hide in a hole.
Yeah. Actually, I did see a woman do it the other day as well. So that's quite positive.
Oh, that's quite good. Yeah. I mean, yeah, good on
her. Good luck to your love. You know what I mean?
That Uber confidence.
I might have done it sometimes. Oh, God.
No, that's just because you're a lovely person that, wants to be a better person, so you might self-associate. And I always, anytime I go, oh, did I do that?
Yeah.
But that's a nice thing. But no,
when I get
not.
Overexcited, I bounce around, like, you know.
That's a delight to watch. I don't feel like it would never feel like a personal attack from you.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like a joy to watch a Tigger, you know.
I'm going to start doing it.
Yeah,
squish everyone. I'm going to start squishing everyone.
I don't know. They might just sort of go, the best steak. I'll tell you where you get the best steak.
Yeah.
You know, in New York, I'll tell you what the best.
Yeah.
I don't know what all that chat. I can't get on that chat. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what
who
you mean.
Who owns what? Who did what?
Yeah.
I find it all very.
Flip your dick back, please, sir.
Yeah. It is the manspreading. I will scan a manspreading situation and not want to be near it.
Yeah.
And
then... Whereas I like to see the outline of the dick. From cradle to podcast, maybe the true listening is with our hearts. Finally, what's life all about? Because I feel like you might know.
Well, it's the work, isn't it? We want to connect so well in the world that all the stuff that distances us from the world, we have to get rid of. So the fear, the self-loathing, the insecurities. What my husband says about Neil Young, you want to be at one with your outward breath. You want to function so purely. So whatever's stopping us. And, yeah. And there's a Rumi thing that I got once in a yoga session, which was, you know, instead of seeking love, seek and destroy the barriers to love you have within yourself. So it is. It's so you can openly love authentically without agenda, and that's what we then enter into the light, because I'm obsessed with near-death experience, of just where we're light and vibrations, and that really, I feel like that's the work.
Best answer we've ever had, and I agree wholeheartedly with that. I love you. Thank
I
you.
I love you. I mean, I so love you. I don't feel like I haven't mentioned that I'm your biggest fan. Like, Luzon is my favourite comedian in the whole wide world.
I'm going to cry again.
But do we you're end the phenomenal.
Podcast? Do we end the podcast us both crying?
Yeah, that's right. And it was so nice. You're indescribable. And I don't think you even know just
I've
what
had a couple
phenomenal.
Of very average gigs recently.
No, you say that. You say that. And it's in your very bones, the craft woman.
Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
So that was Laura Smith. You can go see her tour, and I would urge you to do it. I've told you how to spell her name, so get online and buy some tickets. Goodbye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.